This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 a.m., you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Mark. On the 16th of May, the EU Deforestation Regulation, EUDR for short, was adopted by the Council of the European Union, setting guidelines on the production of commodities, including palm oil, rubber, and timber. The regulation will ban the importation into Europe of any commodity that's planted in deforested land after 2020.
A joint Malaysia-Indonesia delegation is currently in Brussels to present our case against these new rules. The mission comprises Indonesia's Chief Economics Minister Airlangga Hartarto and our own Malaysia's Commodity Minister Fadila Yusof. Malaysia and Indonesia, the leaders of the Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries, argued that the regulation is another trade barrier for palm oil and seeks to protect Europe's domestic oil industry.
Whilst bigger companies have the resources to administer and provide the due diligence reporting for compliance, what about the 700,000 smallholders in our country? How prepared are Malaysian palm oil players in meeting these new standards?
So to better understand the implications of the new EUDR rules, we speak with Koh Yu Leng, Principal Economist with Segi Enam Advisors. Yu Leng, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. So as we said, the EUDR was formally adopted by the Council of the European Union on 16th May. And once the law enters into force, companies will have 18 months to implement the new rules. What impact will this have on our commodities players?
Morning. Indeed, the EUDR rules cover well over a dozen commodities and their key downstream products. And essentially, they require audit-ready information about the supply chain. For palm oil, this is very significant because a lot of players export into the EU. It's a high value added market. In fact, for rubber, it's probably even more urgent because, you know, you go to the tire makers you go to rubber gloves and these go into the developed markets a lot. And I think the exposure for rubber is even higher. And for timber, possibly a bit like palm oil or because we do send a lot to North Asia. So I would say rubber first and then palm oil and then possibly timber, second or third accordingly. Very important. And what we are looking at is having a certain key data. Three key data points are highlighted: geolocation, legality information, and proof that the land was deforested before the cutoff date.
Now, a Malaysia-Indonesia joint trade mission to the European Union is now in Brussels to present and defend our agribusiness interests. But given that the law has been formally adopted, you know, is it too late? And what recourse do we really have moving forward?
Well, I mean, we're looking at a situation where there has been sort of hopes for an easy route or what they call the green lane of recognition. But that's pretty tough one. You know, in reality, I think the past efforts to raise attention and risk for smallholders have actually worked. I mean, let me tell you what some senior people in KL are saying as well. You know, it goes a bit like this, what is the fuss now? Essentially, the EUDR cutoff date for non-deforestation is 31st December 2020. So even our MSPO, Sustainable Palm Oil Certification of Malaysia, requires an earlier cutoff date, i.e. it's better on that front. So actually, we have already won. And this is what people are saying, you know, we have already won. This cutoff date is a lot more liberal than many anticipated.
Okay, but, big companies, they have deeper pockets and they will probably have resources to comply with these new EU requirements, although rather onerous. But what about the 700,000 smallholders in our country?
Yes, indeed. So this is where the data challenge is. And this is where Malaysia can actually, use its licensing data system, create a suitable national registry or subnational registry of data. Is this 700,000 smallholders even the correct figure, for instance? And if we look at another positive, Malaysian Sustainable Palm Oil also covers dealers. So we have a lot of substantive data there. It just needs to be, it's not a frivolous exercise. It's not super easy, but we just need to orient the data from these systems, fill in the gaps, and to be pretty much audit ready. I mean, you're right that the large players have all their traceability systems. They have the roundtable on sustainable palm oil that's going to align up. But really, I think the challenge and the onus will be on say, agency, you know, the government to help these, how many smallholders we have, that needs to be clarified in the first place. And, you know, to get this data together. And of course, you want to do this at a cost of, you know, a few dollars, if not cents per ton of exports. And why not? It's theoretically all there.
So I guess what concrete steps would you want to see the government agencies take in order to help the smallholders? What should we be looking out for?
I think we should be looking out for news that our bureaucracy data has been prepared, you know, in the way that it can be communicated. In fact, the fact that we have all these certifications for rubber, timber, and palm oil is already the fact that Malaysia has been moving on this, and the process is actually a lot further than people think. And I think where we want to hear is, I think, on the engagement with the EU. And this is where Indonesia, you know, by all accounts, has been doing stakeholder engagement with them for many years already, in close contact, you know, prepared the data. Say, for instance, Colombia has done 400 years of land use change. The academics have been gathered to be stakeholders, to be enablers into this with the right kind of data. So we basically want Malaysian universities, and we want the national registries of data to come along. So it's a very you know, positive situation if we look at what other countries are doing. Say, for example, you know, countries in Africa also lobbied the EU to include smallholders because they have the data registry information ready. So in effect, it sounds a bit competitive. I guess it is, but I think this attention on smallholders is very positive that this data is going to be prepared.
So Yuling, is there a possibility of a two-tier system to differentiate the big versus small holders so that it'll provide a lower compliance cost for these small holders?
Well, you know, right now the EU really hasn't provided the details of how it's going to be done, right? So we have this massive upsurge of suggestions or hopes or how it can be done. And, you know, I was talking to people in Washington, D.C. They're also, you know, there's people who do a lot of the data, right? We can use a lot of free data out there from satellite data, which foundations and other people have organized. We just need to, you know, customize it in a way. They are also pretty confused. And of course, you know, US is going to be the next place, right, for this data to come in. And in fact, I think Indonesia and possibly Malaysia was also in the US recently to discuss, you know, possibly these kind of other issues coming up. So, I think there is definitely a potential for two-tier. I mean, the big companies have done their systems and they have benefited greatly selling value-added products, earning lots and lots of premiums. I was just talking to somebody on the credit system in the EU, and they do point that out. You know, in a way, they say that the big companies have cornered the market. So, you know, if the smallholder data is prepared, I think this will be a really interesting situation of whether smallholders can then regain market share in the EU and other markets. And clearly, buyers are very interested to be pro-smallholder.
Okay. Well, going back to the EUDR, you do need to provide verifiable evidence that the commodities were grown on land that was deforested before 2020. Do we know whether the EU has announced any details on what is required? You know, is it going to be very onerous for our companies to comply?
Well, I mean, there are some points there. Like, say, for example, there have been some things which have simplified already, right? I mean, like, say, they used to say that if it's 2 hectares smallholder size, you can use point locations. Now they have actually increased it to 4 hectares to use point locations. So that's already been, you know, apparently simplified, which is a great news for smallholders. And I think for companies as well, they are expecting the certification schemes like RSPO to help align them. If not, they have their systems hopefully ready for this. I mean, the deforestation data is not too difficult. There's been, you know, easily 20 years of data. You know, there's Global Forest Watch Pro. There's, you know, people who are doing real time. I mean, that might be a very expensive way to do this. There's other cheaper ways to do it. So there's going to be a lot of confusion about people lobbying for this method or that method. But really, we need low cost methods. And I mean, the three key things that people point to are still the same. If you talk to people who are talking to the EU, it's geolocation, it's legality, and proof that the land was deforested after that cutoff update, which is essentially very loose in that sense. I mean, it's almost like, you know, everyone can go in as long as you, you know, have your data. And to stand ready to have 5 or indeed 10% of your volume audited every year, I believe, on that. And with certification, Malaysia has so many national certifications that is already, audit ready. And the issue is then to tweak the specific datas to what the EU wants. And in fact, not just what the EU wants, right? What Japan wants things, Korea will want things, US will want things.
All right.
You want your data to speak to everyone's things. And, you know, it becomes a data issue now, data game.
Yuling, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Koi Yuling, Principal Economist at Sagi-Anam Advisors, giving us the rundown on how the EUDR could be implemented, how it's going to impact our agribusiness. Definitely something to keep watch moving forward. 7:58 in the morning, we're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. And then after that, on the Breakfast Grill, I'll be having a World No Tobacco Day panel with Azrul Muhammad Khalib of the Galen Centre and Ben Yudan of ASH New Zealand. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.